Hello and welcome to Always in Escrow with Serena Appel and Colby Burchin. Hello, Colby.
Fancy meeting you here.
It is a pleasure. Well, we have a very special episode because Colby and I are together and we are with our guest, Joanne Geffen. Joanne Geffen is an entertainment industry veteran and heads Creative Rights Group and JAG Entertainment. CRG focuses on monetizing music assets with clients like Smokey Robinson and the Isley Brothers, and JAG provides publicity for personalities, TV shows, authors, and nonprofits, and excels in crisis management. Joanne, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
It's so good to be with you.
You too.
Joanne and I go way back. We have lots of fun working together on so many different projects, and I so appreciate everything that you've brought to my life. Okay, well, we're going to get right into it. Joanne, can you share a memorable experience from your career?
Good or bad?
All of it.
When I represented Barbara Walters and her specials, and I adore her, she was one of my favorite clients because I so respected her. But she did specials on President Reagan and Nancy Reagan. And it was during the time when their daughter wrote her book, which was a major expose. I don't know if you remember it. And, of course, the question was, you know, what did she say about them? And, you know. And Nancy, because I read the transcripts before the show aired and had it publicized based on that. And so she said, I haven't read it. Well, I put that, you know, it was before the internet.
Yes.
So, you know, there were columnists like Marilyn Beck and, you know, Liz Smith and all those. And I gave it to a columnist by the name of Maxine Messenger in Houston, Texas. Well, Nancy saw it and went ballistic. Ballistic. Called Barbara, went crazy on her. Mind you, it was in the show.
Wow.
But she saw it in print and freaked out. Barbara fired me. She had to save face with Nancy.
Wow.
And so that was a very memorable experience.
Oh, certainly. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Well, I mean, from that, that's definitely a good story. Nothing like that we've ever heard before.
I mean, that's behind the scenes. You get to know a lot. That's amazing. That's good scoop. So who has been your most favorite celebrity to work with them?
Barbara was one, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I had the utmost respect for her, and she was so professional and so cordial. I mean, she wrote personal handwritten thank you notes for everything.
Wow.
I mean, she was just such a lady, you know, and obviously bright as can be, you know, so I loved working with her. You know, I was with the Commodores for 40 years. I mean, I still work with some of them, and I'm very good friends with all of them. So, yeah, most of them. And so they're family, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime I see them, it's family.
Yeah.
So I adore them, most of them.
I will tell you something interesting. Barbara Walters went to our school, Birch Waffen.
She did?
Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it was an all-girls school?
When it was an all-girls school.
Yeah.
She went there.
I remember interviewing there.
Yeah.
You do? Oh, yeah. My. Because, Joanne also grew up.
Dull.
She grew up in the city, too.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. All right. So your book, Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Story Behind the Song, features interviews with renowned songwriters. What inspired you to undertake this project?
I just thought it would be fun. Actually, the song that made me think about it was Lady in Red.
Yes.
By Christa Berg. Yes. And he was supposed to be in the book and then his manager backed out, ironically. But because I heard him on some radio show or somewhere, maybe in print, tell the story of how he came up with the song. He had a fight with his wife and then they went to this party or dance and she looked magnificent in this red dress. And it was like a love song to her.
Yeah.
And about her. So I thought that was a really cool story. And it was like, wow, I'd love to do something like that one day. And the opportunity arose. I mean, I was sitting at a meeting with a friend of mine who worked with the Chicken Soup for the Soul people. And, you know, I was sitting next to the then owner. He's no longer involved. And I said, you know, during our lunch break, I said, you know, I have an idea for a book. What do you think? And I told him. He said, sure, give me a list. You know, and I gave him a list of people I proposed I could get. And I got some that were better. I didn't get some of them, you know, but there are like 98 songs. There are 101 stories. So there were, but a few like Lamont Dozier, I had two of. I can't remember who else I had two of. Kenny Loggins, I think. I can't remember. But I had, you know, three that had two stories. So it was like 99 or 98 people that I interviewed. And I interviewed all of them by phone, mostly. Some I have on video, actually, like one of the Commodores and Lamont, who sadly passed away. But, you know, great, great people. And Hal David wrote the introduction.
And that's the story behind the song. You must have had you amassed a lot of stories.
Great.
Really, I mean,
really great. And they were, you know, it's interesting because when you talk one-on-one, and especially as songwriters, not performers, it takes on a whole different vibe because that's their legacy.
Yes.
No one's going to listen to the record in 30 years. You know, let's be realistic. Right. Or in rare instances. But the songs last forever. And that's why marketing music now is so important to a lot of these legendary writers. And, you know, so it's just, they were very proud to talk about their songs, you know.
And you were proud to receive those stories.
Yeah, no, it was a pleasure. They were great.
So how do you monetize music assets for your clients at Creative Rights Group?
Well, similarly to what I was just talking about, you know, it's about legacy to a large degree, not entirely, obviously it's about money. You know, it gets to a point where as artists get older, or writers, producers, anybody, you know, who has music assets gets older, they A, want to estate plan, you know, B, they don't want to have to chase their money, and they just want to, you know, be able to invest it, go on with their lives, with their work. And if they're younger guys, then they still have their whole lives ahead of them to make more money on a regular basis. And they don't have to sell all of it anyway. They can still have an income from some of the revenue streams or half of all the revenue stream, whatever they want. I mean, it can be choreographed for each individual. And so I sell catalogs. So we sold Smokey's catalog. We sold the Isley Brothers, a couple of the Commodores, you know, Cool, a whole bunch of people, Yellow Wolf, you know, just a whole bunch of all different genres. I just sold a bunch of Latin masters.
Ooh.
For big money. Yeah. And, you know, so it's great. And it helps them. And a lot of the older people don't even know that the laws changed several years ago and they can terminate copyrights. Because years ago, they all got, can I say screwed?
Why not?
By publishers and record companies. And they had to either give up their publishing or give up half of it in order to get a record deal. And so as time progressed, you know, they realized and you know, the copyright office and the country realized that it wasn't fair. So they changed the copyright law so that copyrights written 35 or 56 years ago, from whatever year it is, can be terminated, and they have to return them within 2 years. So all these people who wrote songs back in the day and have not been benefiting effectively on them can now own them again. And once they own them, they can sell them.
Yes.
So,
and if they want to sell them, we know who to call.
That's me.
That's Joanne Geffen. How can people find you, Joanne?
I guess online is the best way.
Yeah.
Either LinkedIn or my Facebook page or anything you like.
You can find Joanne online and talk to her more. So definitely, if you're in the business, you need publicity, anything that has to do with music rights, or products.
Yeah,
you're our gal. And any other projects that you may want to share with us?
Well, I love Fran Drescher and Cancer Schmancer. You know, I've known her since she's like 19.
We love Fran Drescher. We're a big fan.
She and Peter are awesome. They're just special people. I've known them forever. And so I work on an as-needed basis with them. Angie Everhart, I adore. I've worked with her for 20 years, and she just bought a beauty and wellness company that I'm working with. It's all organic products, fabulous stuff, Bare Organics, and they just won Product of the Year for their coffee.
Wow. So, whoa. Well, here we know. We all know now. Great.
News bulletin.
Yeah.
So, of course, Commodores, I'm still in touch with a lot. But it's all good, you know. And Smokey, I adore. You know, he's just the sweetest man. So I've known him forever. My office was at Motown when I first moved to L.A. So, you know, Stevie was next door to me. Smokey was upstairs. The Commodore's office.
Oh, my God.
So it was like, you know, Rick James would walk around with a bottle and a joint, as would Marvin Gaye. You know, so it was fun times. It's a different business now. Those were the good days.
This audience is in for a treat. You guys got a lot of little tidbits here.
We are so happy you joined us.
Me too.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.